Welcome back to week four of the series, Wish You Were Here. I love this series because it's all about God's promises. And my heart for you is that you can get to the place, hence the title, Wish You Were Here, at the place where you were living in the promises that God has for you. It's one thing to know about the promises, it's another to live in them. And I want you to live out those promises. And so we're looking at what I believe is the greatest promise, the passage of scripture that contains the greatest four promises for all people. This is God's heart for humanity. We see it in Exodus chapter 6. It's all about Moses. He's going back to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And most people know about that declaration that Moses made to the enemy. But the greater promise is the declaration that God told Moses to make to the nation of Israel. So let's jump right in and let's start reading. Here it is. Exodus 6, verses 6 and 7. God's speaking to Moses and he says this, therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. That's promise one. It's the promise of salvation, that God saves us from the hand of the enemy that brings destruction and oppression in our life. Then he goes on, he says, tell them, I will free you from being slaves to them. That's deliverance. Like, they were in slavery and God says, I'm going to take you out of slavery, but I am also going to take slavery, that mindset, that those wounds and hurts, I'll take that out of you. I'll deliver you. That's the second promise. And I want you to walk in salvation, that you know that God's delivered you from the hand of the enemy that doesn't just bring, you know, eternal death, but brings death in the life, in our lives that we're walking in every day, relational death, financial death, death of dreams. Jesus saves us from that. And the second thing is the deliverance, that he begins a transformative process where we walk away every day further and further from the place where the enemy had us. That's deliverance. I'll free you from being slaves to them. And then the third promise, tell them that I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. That God redeems the garbage that we've experienced, the things that have oppressed us and hurt us, where people have wounded us, where we've operated in a wrong mindset. We've engaged in things that even we are shameful of and we hate our sins. God says, I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to take my outstretched arm and I'm going to reach to those areas of pain and wounding and sin. And I'm going to take them and I'm going to reshape that ugliness into something beautiful that's going to be something that I use in your life to bring others to a place of freedom. I'll redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. And then here's the fourth promise, and this is what we're talking about today. I will take you as my own people. And this is the promise. It's the promise of fulfillment as part of God's family, that you are a son, you are a daughter of the King of Kings. It's fulfillment. It's walking in that place where you know who you are. Your identity is not defined by the world in which you live. Your identity is not defined by the accomplishments that you can look back on and list them off. That your identity is not defined about where you grew up. It's defined by the truth that you are a child or a daughter of the King. That is fulfillment, because you know who you are. You're His. Why is it that people don't live in the place of fulfillment? Now, I'm even talking Christians. I know many people who love the Lord. They've given their life to Christ. They're in the process of walking that out. But for some reason, they always feel like there's still this thing that's missing. There's a lack of fulfillment. What is it that cripples people with that fulfillment? Here it is. We let our past cripple us, that we can't get over the past. David wrote this in Psalms 38, 4 and 6. He says, my guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. I'm bowed down and brought low. I believe even David, King David, the greatest king in all of the Bible, struggled with walking in fulfillment when he looked back on his past through the lens of his failures. And when you look back on the past through the lens of your failures or through other people's faults that have affected you and hurt you, you will always fall just short of living in the place of fulfillment, because the place of fulfillment is not the past. Honestly, it's not even the future. You got to know that the future is good because God has a purpose and a plan for you, but fulfillment comes in the present from knowing that you, despite everything that you've walked through and the good that's going to come, you are okay right now because you are part of God's family, because you are a child of the King. Why is it that people, even Christians, have trouble with walking in fulfillment? I'm fully fulfilled. I'm good. I know that I'm making a difference right where I am. Well, I think there's three main reasons. The first one, we let our past cripple us. You're going to have to allow God by His Holy Spirit to go into the places of pain and failure and loss and speak to you about His purpose and plan for turning all of that around. Why is the people that, why do they not live in fulfillment? Crippled by the past. That's the first one. Here's the second one. We let culture define us. We let the world in which we live and the people that are around us define us. And it may be easy to say, no, I'm going to let the Lord define me. But let me tell you, God's word is so powerful, which is why I want that truth in your life. But we're created in God's image, and just how He created a perfect world before the fall by speaking. When other people speak death over you, it's not the word of God, but it still has power. And so often, when the world in which we live in, we open our hearts to it and we receive what's being spoken into us. Oh, if you buy this new thing, it's going to make you happy. Oh, if you could just give in to what this person who's flattering you and manipulating you because they want something that's their ulterior motive in the relationship and you join up with that. We let other people, we let the world in which we live, we let the culture all around us define who we are. That's not good. The very first verse that God spoke to me out of the Bible that jumped off the page, like I'd heard the voice of the Lord a couple times before this, but I was a young man, I was in high school, and was challenged by my youth pastor to read my Bible and ask God to speak to me. So we were starting as a youth group in Galatians. In Galatians 1:10, this is what I read. Am I now trying to win the approval of people or of God? Am I trying to please people? If I'm still trying to please people, I'm not a servant of Christ. And it stuck me. And I realized I was walking in a place where I'm seeking, like, God, where are you? What's going on? I wasn't walking in fulfillment because I was more concerned about what other people thought about me than what God said about me. Why do people fall short? Christians fall short of fulfillment. They allow their past to cripple them. They allow their culture and the world around them and the people around them to define them rather than God. And here's the third thing. We just try to do life alone. That's just really common. Like, we don't want to be transparent about the pain of our past. Like, you know, you don't want to be the guy or the girl that's like, yeah, well, that was really painful. Especially for men, you're like, you know, we're strong. Like, we don't want to admit that things that happened in our past were painful. Or we don't want to admit, like, man, I've never told anybody this, but let me tell you what I did. But there's freedom. See, the enemy will use those hidden dark things to keep us in the place of darkness. Those things that happened to us or that we did. Like, but listen, when you confess those to Jesus first, and then you bring other people in that you know are godly people who are going to love you and encourage you and not condemn you, but help you and be a strength to you, and you begin to share life with them, you break the lies of the past and the lies of the enemy, and you allow God and His word to trump the culture around you, and you can walk in the place of fulfillment. But listen to me, you'll never do it if you're all by yourself. Proverbs 18:1. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. It is foolish to think that nobody needs to know that. Listen, most people, the vast majority, don't need to know those dark things. But somebody that you know, love, and trust, that loves the Lord and loves you, Don't go it alone. God's promise is this: I'll take you as my own people. Then you'll know that I'm the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. That place of fulfillment is huge. I mean, it's massive. So how do we get to the place of fulfillment? It's really pretty simple. How do we get to that place? Here's the first thing. I have three things. Number one, it starts with a calling. It starts with a calling. 2 Timothy 1:9. God saved us. Then he called us to his holy work, and we had nothing to do with it. Getting to the place of fulfillment starts with the calling. It's the promises. I'll bring you out from... Remember, God's making a declaration. He's calling out to his wayward children who've been in slavery for over 400 years. And he's saying, I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And maybe God's spoken to you and showed you the oppression of sin and that it brings death and that you can't escape it on your own. But Jesus comes in and you say, I've answered that call. Let me tell you, the answer... Answering the call of salvation is different than answering the call of God on your life, that he's going to use you to be his hands, his feet, because you are his child. It's amazing. Everywhere I go, if I've got my kids with me, like, people are always like, well, it's no doubt that these are your children. You know why? Because they look like me. My kids will go places and tell me, yeah, Dad, I met so-and-so. They knew right away that I was a Schumacher. Because there's something that's inherited, they've inherited from me and their mama, that they look like us. When you answer the call of salvation, when you walk out that call of deliverance, where day by day you're taking the old sinful nature and walking away from that and walking towards the place that God has you, you begin to look more and more like him. But he's going to get to the place where he's saying, now, because you look more and more like me, because your mind has been transformed. That's Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may know what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Is there's transformation. As you've answered, you say, I've answered the call of salvation. I've been saved. Awesome. That's fantastic. Are you walking out that deliverance so that every day you're looking more and more like him? Because when that transformation takes place, you'll understand the will of God, Romans 12:2. And here's God's will for you, that you can live like Jesus and bring life and hope and peace to Jesus. That doesn't mean that you're going to be the person on the other side of the camera with a podcast or a Facebook Live where you're preaching, but it does mean that God has a call on your life to reach others. Fulfillment comes when you begin to recognize there's a call on your life to other people. The most unfulfilling thing in the world is getting everything you want. Everything you want. You could have it all, everything at once. Would that make you happy? Maybe for a little bit. Maybe there would be a temporary sense of satisfaction. Maybe you'd be satiated for just a little bit. But I promise you, that goes away. Because there's something that's worse than not getting what you want. It's getting what you want and realizing that it does not satisfy you. And here's the universal truth that God is speaking to us today. Life is not about you. And if you make life about you and your desires and your wants and your wishes, you may see some of those fulfilled, but I promise you it will not bring anything close to the fulfillment that God has for you in using you to be a blessing to other people. But that all begins with a calling. Here's the second thing. It stands on a cause. Like, God's created you with a calling. He's calling out to you and saying, I have a place of fulfillment. It's not even about you, but it stands on a cause. What is your cause? Acts 20:24. This is what we see. But my life is worth nothing to me. unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. What's your cause? Here's my cause. I want to reach people. Reach people with the truth that God knows them and loves them and has a purpose and plan for their life. And I want to build lives. I want to see people's lives built on His word, His purpose, His plan for them. That's what I want. That's my cause. My cause is not to have an amazing Sunday service or an amazing online experience. Like, that would might be a byproduct, maybe. Like, I want that. Those are good things. But the cause is part of the calling to reach people and build lives. This is what God's called me to. It's so fulfilling when I see people surrender to the purpose and plan of God. I love it to see people that recognize the lie of the enemy they've been operating in and then embrace the truth that God has for them and grow through it, because they're fulfilled because they realize life isn't about them, and I'm fulfilled because I've poured out my life into those people. I love it. What is your cause? Maybe your only cause right now can be this: I want to make a difference. Great. That's awesome. Let me tell you, my heart for you is just, you can recognize how God's wired you, how He's gifted you, and then you operate in that. In fact, we'll be having spiritual gift discovery, which is a whole part. That's all the whole point of it, to help you understand how God created you to make a difference in the world around you. Because when you begin making a difference in the world around you that impacts other people, that's embracing the cause. It's answering that call, and it's standing on the cause that He wired you for. Anyway, I could go on. And then here's the third thing, getting to the place of fulfillment. It moves from me to we. I will take you as my own people. He doesn't say, I will take you as my own person. He doesn't say, I'm going to make you my only son or my only daughter. He says, I will take you as my own people. I will be your God. He's speaking collectively. There's something that if we're not careful, we'll fall into this devious trap of the enemy that I think pierces people's souls, that they think that their relationship with God is so personal that it doesn't involve others. And the piercing of the soul is not that. It's they embrace that. And then there's still that longing. There's not fulfillment. Because true fulfillment comes from godly relationships. You've surrendered your heart and life to Jesus. You've embraced that promise of salvation, that you're walking out that deliverance. That's the nation of Israel walking away from Egypt, walking closer and closer to the place of promise. Remember, that generation never even got there, if you know the story. That along the way, we allow Him, and part of that deliverance is to redeem the junk that we went through in our Egypt, where the enemy came in. But fulfillment really comes when we embrace our identity as children of God. That's half of it. I'll take you as my own. Yes, that's the half. That's my half. I'm a son. I'm part of God's family. My own people. That means I'm part of a larger family. Fulfillment. Man, it starts with a calling. It stands on a cause. But ultimately, it's got to move from me to we. Because life is not about you. I want you to live a fulfilled life. It begins with that moment of salvation where you say, Lord, I am in bondage. I'm crying out to you. Listen to me. If you read this story in Exodus, He hears the cries of those that cry out, and He sends a deliverer. He already did. His name's Jesus. He breaks the curse of sin in our life. And if we follow Him, He'll deliver us from the place of bondage and sin. And if we walk with Him, we'll walk further and further away from that place of pain and oppression, and we'll get closer and closer to the place that He's promised us. And along the way, He'll turn the ugly around to something beautiful, and then He'll use us to reach people who are in their own place of ugly and sin and misery and oppression, and help them on that journey as well. It's like a train. Like, hop on. Jesus is calling out to you now, maybe. Maybe he's knocking at the door of your heart and he's saying, turn to me. And if that's you, I just want to pray with you. Just pray with me. Say, Lord, I turn to you. I know you've heard my cry. And you say that you'll rescue me. So I surrender to you. Forgive me for my sin. Lord, I give it to you. I receive your forgiveness. God, help me with my pain. I give it to you. I surrender it to you. And Jesus, I'm following you from now on. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, that is the first step in the journey. Let us help you to continue walking, not just with Jesus, but with people that have a heart for you. Let us know. Click on the button in the chat. Let us know what's going on so that we can help you grow. And that's my heart's desires, to not just see Jesus reach out and touch your life, but to help you build your life on a sure foundation, and it's him. And it's his people. So love you guys. See you soon. God bless.